Men wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Ernest Shackleton. My name is Becca Reiswig, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories. History is full of engaging and fascinating topics, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So settle in as we explore one of my favorites. The holiday season is upon us. Happy Thanksgiving to those in the U.S. The weather is finally truly taking a turn for the cold where I live, and while I rejoice in the return of sweater weather, I thought we could take a look at a story significantly colder, where the thermometer's dip wasn't appreciated by anyone involved. Odds are pretty good that you've heard of the Shackleton Expedition, at least in passing. The name has become synonymous with the adventuring spirit of the early 1900s, endurance and failure. In 1914, Ernest Shackleton led an expedition to cross Antarctica. He considered this to be the last great journey to be made in the Antarctic, following Norwegian Roald Amundsen reaching the South Pole in 1911. While there is certainly much to learn by conducting a trip like this, in the end, the main reason seems to be because we can. This attitude of adventure for adventure's sake is a central part of the human experience. Many of our greatest accomplishments seem to have started as a question of whether they could be done. Then others follow in those first steps, widening the path and journeying further each time. The story of Ernest Shackleton and his doomed expedition is one which fascinates and inspires. It is a tale of endurance and leadership that, despite being unsuccessful, is remembered not for its failure, but for its reveal of the perseverance of humanity. The story I will be telling here does depict some survival decisions, including the death of dogs, so prepare yourselves. Let's begin our tale with a look at the history of exploration on the Antarctic continent. The belief that there was a southern counterpart to the Arctic of the North goes back to at least the 300s BCE with the philosopher Aristotle. Ptolemy also theorized on a terra australis incognita, a hidden southern land, in his Geographia in 150 CE. The Maori of New Zealand have oral tales of Hui Te Rangiora, apologies for that pronunciation, exploring the Antarctic waters as early as the 7th century, though these claims are debated. Europeans began the search in the late 1400s after Lopez or Lopo Goncalves, a Portuguese navigator, again, forgive the pronunciation, became the first European to cross the equator. In 1773, the Antarctic Circle was crossed for the first time by Captain James Cook. Further travel south was stopped by ice. A Russian expedition led by Fabian Gottlieb von Bellinghausen and Mikhail Lazarev was the first to sight the mainland of Antarctica in 1820. This whole chunk of history is overpopulated with whalers and sealers making discoveries as part of their wandering, searching for breeding grounds, not the ground itself. American Captain John Davis, a sealer, claims to have stepped onto the mainland of Antarctica in 1821, but his story is not accepted by some historians. However, it is mentioned in National Geographic's article, Who Really Discovered Antarctica, by Aaron Blakemore, as the first instance of someone physically being on Antarctica. These discoveries are followed by a host of expeditions for the next century, leading up to Shackleton's own journey into the pages of history. The adventuring and inquisitive spirit that seems to reside within nearly all of humanity drove this search for more. Whether scholars wanted data and facts, or the general public wanted stories of daring explorers, there was always someone ready to back an expedition, and always someone ready to then consume the reports that came home. Now let's learn a little bit about who Shackleton was. Sir Ernest Henry Shackleton was born in Kilkea, County Kildare, Ireland, on February 15th, 1874. Side note, just 3 days and nearly 120 years before I was born. He was the second in 10 children, and the first of only 2 sons. His father, Henry Shackleton, was a farmer, though in 1880 he began studying to be a doctor. 4 years later, he completed his studies and moved the family to Sydenham in London, though Ernest remained proud of his Irish roots. Side note and fun fact, Ernest's younger brother, Frank, was a suspect in the theft of the Irish crown jewels, though he was exonerated. This notorious unsolved mystery is a story I will definitely be coming back to at another date. Ernest was a voracious reader, though this did not translate to an enjoyment of school. Despite assuming boredom with classes, he did do well, ending 5th out of 31 in his class when he left school at the age of 16. The restlessness he felt in the classroom was assuaged by going to sea as an apprentice aboard the Houghton Tower with the Northwestern Shipping Company. In 1894, 4 years later, he passed his examination for second mate, and 2 years after that, he again passed to become a first mate. Finally, in 1898, he gained his certification as a master mariner, a rank which qualified him to command British ships anywhere they may be found. He went on to serve on both a mail ship and then a troop ship. While on the troop ship, he met Cedric Longstaff, whose father, Llewellyn W. Longstaff, was the main backer for the National Antarctic Expedition. Ernest made good use of this connection and secured an interview where he impressed Llewellyn enough that the man sent him along with a high recommendation to Sir Clements Markham, who was the president of the Royal Geographical Society. This resulted in Ernest serving as third officer aboard the Discovery during her expedition in 1901 to 1903. This trip launched several Antarctic careers, including Shackleton's, as well as discovering the only snow-free Antarctic valleys, now known as the McMurdo Dry Valleys, the Cape Crozier Emperor Penguin Colony, and the Polar Plateau, on which the South Pole is located, though they did not make it that far. After the Discovery Expedition in 1907 and 1909, Shackleton led an expedition of his own before he embarked on the one that is perhaps most known for today. That first expedition was known as Nimrod, named for the ship as many expeditions were. Shackleton was attempting to reach the South Pole, and while they failed at that, they did get closer than anyone else had as of yet. Emily Shackleton, Ernest's wife, related in the book Shackleton by Roland Huntford, "The only comment he made to me about not reaching the pole was a live donkey is better than a dead lion, isn't it? And I said, yes, darling, as far as I'm concerned." Ernest Shackleton enjoyed some time as a national hero and celebrity in the role of explorers, until he began making plans for his next expedition in 1913, the same year as the death of Captain Robert Falcon Scott, while on his ill-fated Terra Nova expedition. The goal of Shackleton's new expedition was to cross the landmass of Antarctica. Shackleton's second expedition, the Imperial Trans-Antarctic Expedition, began on August 8, 1914, when the ship, the Endurance, set out from Plymouth, England. Shackleton was not aboard, but met up with the ship in Buenos Aires, along with a few other crew members and a stowaway whose application to join the crew had been turned down. They set out for South Georgia on October 26 and arrived on November 5th. The expedition was forced to pause for a month to wait for a better opening to make the journey to Antarctica. On December 5th, they were finally able to depart. Near immediately, they ran into their first bit of trouble with pack ice, drift ice, or ice that had broken away from the shore, and has joined together. This drastically slowed the Endurance's progress, even bringing the ship to a halt for an entire day while the crew worked to free the ship from the ice. This involved disembarking from the ship and onto the ice in order to physically move it away from the hull. It can be an extremely dangerous task. They continued in this manner until December 22nd, when the Endurance seemed to finally break free from the ice. They continued sailing, sometimes in good condition, sometimes bad, into 1915. In mid-January, the Endurance came upon a glacier that would have made a good landing site, but Shackleton deemed it too far north of their destination, so they continued on. As they moved south, the Endurance was forced to navigate around other glaciers and more pack ice until she became trapped in the ice. On February 24th, Shackleton made the call to winter on the ice floe. The dogs were removed from the ship and housed in kennels made from ice on the pack ice, while the ship itself was converted into winter lodging for the crew. A wireless was rigged, but they were too remote to make any use of it. By the end of March, Shackleton estimated that they had only traveled 95 miles since mid-January. As the harsh Antarctic winter began, Shackleton feared for the physical and mental well-being of his crew. While they were prepared to wait out the winter, there was still the issue of exercise and morale. In an attempt to combat both, the dogs were exercised regularly, and even occasionally raced. The men were encouraged to take moonlit strolls around the ice. Plays were attempted on the ship, and what holidays they could, they celebrated. Finally, the ice began breaking up on July 22nd, and on August 1st, a fierce wind began dissipating the remaining ice. The ice pushed into the ship, threatening to capsize it, but the Endurance, well, endured. Life continued this way until October 24th, when the ice finally squeezed the ship so fiercely the hull cracked. The sound of the splintering wood was likened to the crack of gunfire by the men. Supplies and lifeboats were quickly moved to the ice, and efforts were made to repair the damage to the Endurance. It was for naught. 3 days later, on October 27th, they abandoned ship. Though it remained afloat for some time, allowing the crew to continue scavenging supplies and rescue Frank Hurley's camera and photographic plates. In an action that hurts me to the core of my being, he sorted through the 550 plates he had, chose the best 150, and smashed the rest. On November 21st, 1915, the Endurance finally sank into the sea. At this point, any hope of completing their original goal, crossing the land mass of Antarctica, was abandoned as priority shifted to survival. Anything considered a luxury was left behind, including books, tools, keepsakes, and even some clothes. Additionally, any dogs too small to assist with the work, and the ship's cat, were all shot. An attempt was made to walk across the ice floe in the direction of land. Over the course of 7 days, they managed only 7.5 miles. Shackleton recorded, "There was no alternative but to camp once more on the floe and to possess our souls with what patience we could till conditions should appear more favorable for a renewal of the attempt to escape." The new camp they established was called Patience. By February of 1916, a team was sent back to the old camp to retrieve food and another lifeboat, which had been left behind after being deemed too much of a burden. Seal meat became an integral part of the crew's diet, allowing Shackleton to further ration the supplies they had brought with them. By April 2nd, all of the dogs had been shot in order to conserve rations. By the end, dog meat was added to those rations. Finally, on April 7th, Clarence and Elephant Islands came to view. The ice had been steadily breaking up, and by April 9th, it began splitting beneath them. Shackleton gave the order for Camp Patience to be abandoned, and the men loaded themselves and what supplies they could into the 3 lifeboats they had. Captain Worsley navigated the tiny fleet across the open ocean to Elephant Island, where they made landfall on April 15th. Shackleton rested for 9 days before striking back out in one of the lifeboats, the James Caird, with Worsley and 4 other men. Their goal was a whaling station on South Georgia, over 800 miles from their location. It took them 16 days of fighting the wind and the waves to reach the island, though they were blown off course. Rather than landing on the side with the whaling station, Shackleton and his men had reached the opposite side of the island. So, in true Shackleton fashion, he, Worsley, and another man, Tom Crean, made the 36-hour hike across the island for help. Surprised by these strangers who had wandered into their midst, the station manager, Thrall Sorrel, confronted them. According to the record of a Norwegian whaler who was there, he asked, "Who the hell are you?" To which Shackleton quietly answered, "My name is Shackleton." The whaler says he wept upon hearing the man's name. As you may recall, Shackleton had made quite the name for himself, and likely anyone in these waters knew who he was and what he was doing there. For him to turn up like this, something must have gone horribly wrong. The other 3 men from the James Caird were retrieved, and the first attempt was made to rescue the rest of the Endurance's crew. With a volunteer crew, Shackleton departed aboard the Southern Sky, though they were forced to turn back by the pack ice. Then he radioed to London for help, but was told there were no ships in the area. The Uruguayan government sent out a ship, though this one was also turned back by the ice. Shackleton, Worsley, and Crean traveled to Punta Arenas, Chile, where they were able to secure the help of Alan MacDonald and his ship Emma. Once more, they were unsuccessful, though. On August 25th, the Chilean government lent him the use of the Yelcho, which finally made it to Elephant Island on August 30th. Frank Wild had been left in charge of the camp there. Every day he ordered the men to lash up and stow their belongings. The boss may come today. It took 128 days for the boss to finally return. A little over 2 years after setting out, and 20 months stranded, all 28 members of the crew were finally on their way home. Ernest Shackleton attempted one more expedition, though it didn't accomplish much. He died at the age of 47 of a heart attack in South Georgia on January 5th, 1922. So that's what happened. Shackleton was buried in South Georgia at his wife's request, laid to rest on a lonely island, surrounded by the wind and the waves. If you'd like to learn more about the Shackleton expedition, I'd recommend checking out the books South, The Illustrated Story of Shackleton's Last Expedition by Ernest Shackleton and Frank Hurley, and The Endurance, Shackleton's Legendary Antarctic Expedition by Caroline Alexander. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing and sharing. I also have another show about the weirder side of our world called So Legend Says. If you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to patreon.com/sothatswhathappened or click the link in the show notes. If you have any topics you'd like to hear me cover or questions or comments about this or past stories, you can send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as STWHpodcast. Loneliness is the penalty of leadership, but the man who has to make the decisions is assisted greatly if he feels that there is no uncertainty in the minds of those who follow him, and that his orders will be carried out confidently and in expectation of success. Ernest Shackleton.